Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I just got back from a conference, Codemash, Sandusky.
How was it this year?
It was good.
Were there any overarching like themes? I know that's normally like a big Microsoft conference, but
yeah,
I wasn't sure if you were seeing any other writings on the wall.
There was a lot of Elixir stuff. I went to a lot of Elixir stuff, a lot of like Elm.
Nice.
A lot of front end stuff too, like React. But went to several Elixir talks. There was one that was done by, my favorite was this one done by Anthony Eden. I think it's Eden, the DN Simple person.
Oh, okay.
CEO.
Gotcha.
And he talked about, his title of the talk was like Birth of Elixir. And he went through like the first five commits that Jose Valim had in GitHub, since it's like a newer language, like the history is all there.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. And he kind of went through like what he was thinking and what he did like on top of the Erlang VM to get, like, he basically went to get, you know, 1+2 to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then went from there. And it was pretty interesting. That was my favorite. Yeah, that was the most memorable one. How about you? How was your week?
My last 2 weeks have been pretty good. A little busy doing some extra things on top of day job and also running Coder Journey. Getting back into playing drums and drumming for our church, and sort of did not practice for that as much as I should have. So I kind of embarrassed myself at rehearsal the other evening. That was cool. But beyond
practice,
that,
where do you practice that at? You practice that at home?
Yeah, I have an electric drum kit here that one of my friends loaned me to use. But we use a different type of electric drum set at the actual church. And tell you what, real drum sets are better. That's all I'm going to say. Like an actual acoustic made of wood, has plastic heads. Those are great. Electric drum sets kind of are weird to me. I feel like I can't be as musical. But that's not here nor there. It's just, you know, one of those side things that kind of made me feel bad about myself for a moment. But
good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what we need. More of that in developer life. But yeah, beyond that, no. It was a lot of getting back into the swing of things after the holiday season over the last couple weeks at work. And then, yeah, just working on the Docker course for Coder Journey.
And how did that go?
Good. I launched it a half hour ago.
Nice.
So it's actually
out the door. See what these podcasts
do? Yeah, I know. Well, it was funny. Last night, I got home from work, and I was like, normally, it's like a Friday night, and I'm pretty tired. So I'm like, I'm just going to hang out with Kendra. But I sent her a message. I was like, are you going to be really mad if I like work the entire time I'm home tonight? And she's like, no, get the thing done. So I come home and I work for like 4 or 5 hours on this. And I'm like, oh, I got to get this done before we record tomorrow, because otherwise I'm going to have like 4 straight podcasts of not doing anything.
I'll make up for you.
So, okay, good. That'll make me feel better. I'm just going to, you know, stand on you. But yeah, so that was really cool. Got that out. Hasn't sold anything in the first 20 minutes. I don't know what this is about, but
so what is is it at Coder Journey? Like, is it supposed to be listed under all courses?
Yes. Well, no. So yeah, it'll be under the all courses section.
Oh,
so if you go to courses.coderjourney, yeah, you already have it. I give it to you for free. You're the only person getting a big discount.
Suck us.
But I did
podcast with Keith.
Yeah, that's what it takes. And your feedback was really super helpful. So there is a video in there for you now that is when to restart or rebuild Docker containers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that was just for you.
Thank you.
But yeah, so that was cool. Got
awesome,
that
man.
Released. Put out a coupon code to everybody on my mailing list. That's going to be the only discount that I give for this course and maybe any course ever. I'm debating on that. I don't want to devalue my work.
Right.
So yep. Just did that because, you know, I have like 330 people or so on my mailing list. Figure if I get, I worked it out, and if I get something like 4% of those to purchase with a discount, then Coder Journey becomes profitable. Like,
nice.
All of the money that, well, not profitable, it breaks even, right? Like, because I haven't taken any money out of it, but that would pay for all of my expenses. So that would be pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're charging this you're just charging this like a flat rate, right, for the whole course?
Yep. Yeah, it is. The base price is $99 for the course. And then it's an early access now is what I'm calling it, because it's not quite done in the sense that I still have a couple more modules that I want to add on. Mm-hmm. But what is there right now, I think, is more than worth the price tag. So I feel pretty good about releasing it now and giving people the option to kind of buy in, and they can give me some early feedback and I can tweak things based on that. But yeah, so it's $99, and then I gave the coupon code for 40% off to anybody on my mailing list so they can get it for $59.
Cool. And then you haven't put anything else. You haven't put anything up on your homepage or on your...
No, I have not done anything else since that. I published it. I guess I put some toots and stuff inside a buffer to like send out. So like my Facebook page and my LinkedIn profile and all that other business will kind of get updated here eventually, whenever is deemed the most worthy time by Buffer. And then the email was scheduled to go out at 10 instead of like right at 9:20. And that was because I wanted to give Wistia time to actually encode the last couple videos properly. Otherwise, it'd be a little blurry to start out if somebody like by some chance just like went to the end and started there. So it should be... Everything's kind of out there now. I did take the time to set up a Zapier so it can send me a text message if anybody buys my course, because I really want to know, you know?
Yeah, that's the best. That is the best feeling. Do you... So, okay. First question. How do you like Buffer?
I like Buffer a lot. Yeah, I mean, I use it... I was using it for a while in this idea that I'm never going to go to Twitter myself. Like for a while I was using Buffer for the Keith Thompson Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And just like not reading Twitter. So if I ever had something important I wanted to say, I would just Buffer it and go from there. That's a little weird. It turns out I like social interaction, being able to read funny stuff on Twitter. So Buffer for Coder Journey is great, though, because I can kind of compose one message and set that up to go to all these different places. But then I can also go and like tweak it and make sure that the images pull in properly. And then it also gives you like metrics tracking on links that you have in there, so you can see like how many people clicked on this link.
Nice.
And it also tracks like who's retweeted it, so how many like impressions you got per tweet. So it's not too bad, though. I think it's pretty good, especially if you have a bunch of accounts you need to manage.
Cool. Nice. But, yeah. That's awesome, dude. Good job.
Thank you.
So what's your next 2 weeks going to be consistent?
So my next 2 weeks are a little bit of, I want to do some planning kind of for the year, or maybe the next like 3 months or so, kind of get a plan of what I want to do. And then I want to also work on sales funnel stuff. For the reason my mailing list is at 320 is actually kind of funny, because I don't get a lot of natural traffic. I actually just ran like Google Ads for a little while and I got like a ton of people to just come to my site. So I turned that off, though, because I was like running out of my initial fund in my like business account, and I was like, okay, I gotta stop this until I can actually make some money. So I'll probably re-enable that and then rearrange some things so I'm driving people to my site, but to some sort of landing page that I can get them on the mailing list and then eventually get them to go to the course. That's so I can kind of own my own traffic. And then eventually, I mean, the people who are on your mailing list are beautiful because you can just like send them an email and get money. You don't have to like have an ad bring them to you. So that costs you money and go from there. And it's something like if they buy once, they might buy again. It just gives me those options. So going to probably try to work on that for the next couple weeks. And I got to release, you know, my normal YouTube videos and stuff, but...
Nice.
That's my game plan. But to kind of get a plan for like what's my next premium course going to be, which means I might have to kind of survey the audience a little bit to see what that should be, just so I don't make something that nobody wants. Hopefully they wanted this one. And then, just try to drive more traffic.
What else do you have to finish on your Docker, developer Docker course?
Those other modules are for, there's a testing section, which I've actually never talked about in any YouTube videos. So I'm probably just going to leave that as like part of this premium course, but we're going to go through using like testing, using images, and then eventually setting up some sort of CI. So I might have a couple different ones in there for like, hey, this is how you could do it if you're using GitLab for your Git and your repository management. But then I'm probably going to have one set up to where it's like, okay, this is what it's going to look like if you roll your own Jenkins and have that as part of your continuous integration setup, and how you can use Docker images for that. And then finally, I'm going to have a simple deployment part and then how to integrate your continuous integration to your actual deployment process. So, you know, rolling that into continuous deployment is probably, that's like the holy grail portion of this, which goes a little bit beyond like developing with Docker, but I think modern developers need to know a lot about the ops process, so it's probably valuable.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's awesome. Good job. So I will promote the hell out of that stuff. I'm gonna finish watching all your extra modules you added. So,
cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's good. It's good content. So I did not complete anything. My goal for the last 2 weeks was to get the Tatsu account to use the callback, like move everything to callback API, mm-hmm. get Tatsu to use it. I got the majority, and then my other plan was to go back to conversations in Tatsu and get those working for private conversations.
Yeah.
And I didn't complete either of those. So
did you make progress on either though?
Yes. Yeah. So on the callback API, what I found was I really needed some additional features just the way I want to use it. So I don't want the consumer to have to like store any sort of external ID or kind of do anything on their end. Like they can if they want, but I don't want that to be a requirement. So like an example, like what I do like with Stripe, right? You reach out to Stripe and you say, hey, here's a new customer, and it returns you a customer ID, and you usually store that on your database. Mm-hmm. So you can go and hit that for that given customer again. I don't want to have to do that with like a job. So like if you send out a job called, you know, schedule stand up, you don't want, and then that's going to return you an ID, which it does. I don't want to have them to have to store that locally, because it's just, I want it to be such a lightweight API that you don't, it doesn't really have any effects on your internal systems.
Gotcha.
So I got the first part of that working. I figured out that it wasn't actually creating the schedule with the job API like I wanted it to. So I had to add that. And then the other thing I did is now a post will basically do, so if you posted /jobs, it'll create that job and return a 201 if it created it. Or if it's already there, it'll just update the information it needs to update and return a 200. And it's a little bit different than normal APIs. Usually, you know, you have an update and then a create,
mm-hmm.
Which I do have an update as well, but I change it so the create works for both ways. That way I can just, on the consumer end, just go and post every time to that API and it'll handle changes and everything. So
that makes sense.
I got that working. I had to add some account stuff so that users are tied to accounts. Because if you have a team of people, I don't want them each to have their own API keys. Mm-hmm. They originally had API keys on the user. So things like that, a bunch of changes, and that tied with CodeMash, which I always think I'm going to get so much done when I'm at CodeMash conferences, and that never happens. I'm like, oh, I'm away from the family. I'm just going to get all these things done. And that didn't happen. So, but I'm probably today I'm going to have kind of the fully integrated thing with callback integrated for Tatsu. Nice. The other thing I needed to do is add, which was kind of the bigger issue, is I wanted the ability to display what that schedule is on the UI. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted it like a human readable schedule to be returned with the job. So I made it so, you know, it says like every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or it'll say every weekday, okay. Or it'll say every, you know, weekend at this time, and it handles multiple different times.
Nice.
So I got all that working. So basically I have all the pieces to allow it to integrate right with Tatsu. So I'll finish that probably today, and then I'm going back over to to conversations to get those working. And that's about it. The other thing that happened last week was there's another company that released literally the same API.
Wait, besides CronJobs?
Yes.
So there's a third one in the hat now?
There's a company called BeepBoop, which is run by some really cool people in the bot space. Like, it's a bot.
Oh, okay.
And they released a Kronos API where you actually use like Cron.
It's actual Cron.
Formats, yeah. But it does the same. It does the webhook and everything. I'm not really too concerned with it. It's fine.
Yeah, I would opt to not use Cron if given the option. Yeah, like, exactly. I hate the Cron format because I have to, every single time I use it,
look up.
Yeah, because I have no idea what this means. What's *? Whatever. Like, right. Yeah, that's bad.
The other thing is it's kind of tied into BeepBoop, although you can use it separately. Mm. But you have to create an account on BeepBoop and a project and all this stuff. So it's a little, but it's the same idea. So, you know, it's just another idea that, you know, these bot makers had the same issue that I had, and they're just, you know, selling their byproducts just like I am. So,
yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens. Like, you guys are all on the same, like, fringe space to where you're all kind of discovering the same things.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Going from
at
there.
The same times. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like same reason why, you know, what was it? It was like people were finding specific elements from the periodic table at like the same time because science had just like progressed to such a spot that people were simultaneously discovering the same thing.
Huh. That's a cool analogy.
Yeah. I mean, this happens a lot in like any kind of science stuff. It happens in computer science too. Like, you'll go to like, you know, academic-y conferences.
GUIs and, you know, GUIs all happened at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's just interesting how that works out. But I do have a question about callbacks, and that is, what does it actually run? Like, so I post a thing, what code does it run? Or does it just like, do I send you a payload and say, hey, send this payload back to me at a certain time?
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Here's, that makes sense because then you don't have to hold any code on your end. Like, right. I was like, that could be a nightmare because you're basically building AWS Lambda at that point.
Right.
Which I think is maybe be just... out of the scale.
That's way out of my scope. Yeah, basically what you do is that you give it a callback URL and a payload, and it will call that callback URL or that webhook with your payload.
And then you can just give it the times and stuff. And
exactly.
Yeah, okay, cool. Exactly. That is super simple. Like,
yep.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah. And then it'll keep things like stats and how long, like, throughput and things like that.
It
doesn't do that yet, but it's going to.
Yeah, so you're like building out the dashboard and stuff for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
So for the next 2 weeks, what's your like main goal? What's your wildly important thing you have to do?
Conversations and Tatsu.
Cool.
I need to get back to Tatsu ASAP. But the reason I want to go back to Tatsu and kind of leave callback is I'm going to slowly add more people to using callback. And and that'll give me like data, how well it's working, what I need on my servers, things like that. So it's kind of like it's going to be like a data collection period for callback, but it allows me to kind of focus back on Tatsu.
That makes a ton of sense.
So once I get conversations are like, I need to get over this hill because I'm kind of in like this lull of like, oh, I got to work on conversations again. And I have like a million different other features I want to add.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, one of these days or one of these weeks, I'm going to like just stop on these big features on Tatsu and just implement, you know, dozens of these tiny features.
Tiny features, get them all out the door. Sometimes it's really tough. Like when you get stuck on one feature, just it's a trap. And I had one of these a while back where I was like working out. This is my day job. I was working out like PDFs to attach to like an email service. And I ended up going down this road. Like, I ended up building a PDF generation server in the process of this thing and then working out like all the ops side to like how this thing needs to deploy. Like, I worked with our ops guys on how to do it, and I'm like, oh, this should totally be our first like Dockerized, like super duper simple thing. And like, I killed so much time because I was really just hating my life while I was working on this. And it was so much more fun to work on some like niche thing underneath it to like make it better. But then I would come back to like, oh, I have to create these PDFs for these emails again. And now I hate myself. And it just like gets you bogged down. It sucks.
It's not a, it's not an immediate like, client facing feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to be able to do certain things based on this, but you know, once I get to this point, it's not even something I can really release until I add the ability to start stand-ups in a DM, which is going to be based on this conversation stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of like a, ugh, like a lull. So, yeah, anyway, it's been going good. So good. Those are my next 2 weeks.
Nice. Then those should be more productive than your last 2 weeks, obviously, with that CodeMash there. It's funny that you think you're going to get stuff done at CodeMash.
I always, every year, it's like my eighth CodeMash.
CodeMash is basically a giant party. Yes. And with, you know, some talks in between, but it's a good time. I'm kind of, maybe next year I'll try to see if I can go to CodeMash. It's been a while for me.
My next is Gary Bernhardt's conference should be announced. Shortly.
Wait, Gary Bernhardt's running a conference?
You do not know about this?
No, I didn't know. Is there a Destroy All Software conference?
Destructconf.com.
Oh, and I'll have to check this out.
It's going to be in Seattle. He's hand selecting all the speakers. I think it's Destructconf, something like that. He hasn't released the price yet. Although I did look at the source and found an SVG, and it looks like it's probably going to be around $500.
Mm.
Although I told him that, and I may have raised the price of the conference. I'm just going to put that out there.
Wait, you talked to him at CodeMash and you were like, dude, $500, that's
no,
cheap.
I talked to him on Twitter and I said, $500. And then he's like, oh, sneaky. And then, I said, well, just to let you know, that's like a no brainer for me. And then he's like, oh, that's actually a useful data point. So I may have, increased the price.
Yeah, well, good job. Maybe he'll give you the $500 ticket and be like, since it was a no-brainer and I'm going to charge all these other plebs more money.
But the idea that we're going to do, too, if you want, you're more than welcome, is if we all get tickets, a few of the developer friends, we're going to take a train from around here to Vancouver and kind of do like a codication thing, and then take like a train from Vancouver down to Seattle, go to the conference, and then take a plane back.
That sounds amazing, but I don't imagine. So my vacations this year are a little off the hook. So I'm going on my first ski trip in 2 weeks with my father-in-law and a couple, like a friend from church and one of the other guys that he works with. But we are going to Breckenridge.
Breckenridge, yep. Nice.
So, yeah, we're going out there. And then in September, I'm going to Israel for 2 weeks.
That's close.
Yeah, so gonna be doing that, and then I have another like week vacation with the family, just going to the lake or something like that. So basically, like, even though I have unlimited vacation time, my guilt would be insane if I took more time off. Plus, I would have to obviously pay for all this stuff, and I'm a cheapskate.
Yeah,
but yeah, I thank you for the yes on that. Well, he's like, yep.
No, no, I'm not like, yeah, you have to pay for it. Yes, but we did work out all the pricing. It is gonna be like $1,500 just for the travel without like counting food and all that stuff.
Oof, rough.
So, but it'll be hopefully a productive, fun time. I've never been to Vancouver, so anyway, if you don't want to do all that, I would highly recommend Gary's conference. The speakers that he's announced already are amazing. And I'm sure it's going to be really well done. It's in the end of May, I believe.
Cool. I might have to look into that to see if that can, like, because I go to a conference every year anyway, so maybe that'll be my one for this year. Abstractions was my one from last year, and that was amazing.
Yes, I wish I was there.
So, yeah. Well, cool.
Cool, man. I will chat with you in 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right.
Good luck on conversations.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Bye.